Open your Bibles, please, to the book of Joshua, the 7th chapter. Joshua chapter 7 in your Scofield Reference Bible, page 266. Beginning with the 16th verse, we'll read responsively through verse 21. The 21st verse being the text verse for this morning's message. Then after we read this passage, I will turn to a passage that you will not turn to, just a verse that I will read myself. Let's stand, please, for the reading of God's Word. So Joshua rose up early in the morning and brought Israel by their tribes, and the tribe of Judah was taken. And he brought the family of Judah, and he took the family of the Zarhites, and he brought the family of the Zarhites man by man, and Zabdi was taken. And he brought his household man by man, and Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, was taken. And Joshua said unto Achan, My son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from me. And Achan answered Joshua and said, Indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment, and 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them, and took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. And reading from the 20th chapter of Exodus, the 17th verse, Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. And let's pray. Father, thank you for our church. Thank you for the faithful teaching and preaching of thy word through the decades of service here. And we pray that you'd bless this morning in a very special and significant way. Speak to our hearts, help our hearts to be hungry for that which thy word has for us. Use thy servant, we pray. Help our preacher. In Jesus' name, amen.
On the subject, live within your means. Live within your means. Don't get up and walk out now. I want to read for you. You need not even turn to it. That beautiful, wonderful, wonderful portion of Scripture. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He goes on down telling about the cross. This is the 53rd of Isaiah. And that wonderful, wonderful statement in the 11th verse says, He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. It was only then when our Lord was satisfied, whenever his wants and his haves met each other. I want to talk to you on live within your means. You'll wonder how it comes from this passage, but I want to explain it to you. Father, bless our message this morning. A lot of people here just barely made it to church today. They've got to be fed. A lot of people here, hearts are broken. A lot of people burdened with pain, disease, bereavement, disillusionment, depression. Speak to thy servant this morning and through him to thy people. In Jesus' name, amen. When Linda, our third child, our middle girl, was in Hiles Anderson College, she came home one day and she said, Dad, there's a dream boat out to college I'd like to date. She's married to him now, and the boat has sunk several times. But more of a battleship, I'd say now. But she said, there's a dream boat out of the college I'd like to date. I called the college and told Dr. Evans and Dr. Jorgensen, tell the guy he dates my daughter or we expel him from college, one or the other. So she came home one night in college, and she was just on cloud nine. She said, Dad, Mom, you won't believe what happened. Well, I knew what happened because I had already exercised the authority of the chancellor. But I said, what? And she said, Johnny asked me for a date. Oh, she said, I don't know why they do this, but they always do this. I don't know why. She said, I'm the happiest girl in the whole world. But within 24 hours, she said, I wonder if he'll like me. I wonder if he'll ask me for another date. The truth is, she wasn't satisfied. She came home from the first date, and she said, oh, Daddy, he's even more than I thought he was. I'm even more than she thought I was, too. But she said, he's even more than I thought he was. And Daddy, I just wonder if he'll ask me. And she was nervous and not satisfied because one date did not fill all of her wishes. He did ask her for another date and another and another and another. And finally, one night, she came home rejoicing and talking in the unknown tongue. And she said, oh, Daddy, 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 he's asked me to go steady. Oh, I'm the happiest girl in the whole world. Well, the next morning she came and she said, Daddy, do you think you'll ever ask me to marry him? She was not satisfied. They're going steady, but she was not satisfied yet. And then one day, the night of nights, she came in and she was thrilled. Oh, my soul, she was thrilled. She got in late that night, about 9:30. And she was shouting and praising God and praising everybody, especially Johnny. And she had a beautiful wedding band. I don't know how many carats it was, but it cost a lot of lettuce, I'll tell you for sure. And it must have been expensive. It's a beautiful thing. It was beautiful. And if it wasn't a good one, he sure wasted $19.95, I'll tell you for sure. But she said, oh, Daddy, 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 I'm engaged to Johnny Murfree. And she was so happy. But then the next morning, or a little later, she said, Daddy, I can't wait till the wedding. She wasn't satisfied yet. But when I stood about where I'm standing now and pronounced her Mrs. Johnny Murfree, and then Mrs. Hiles and I went on the honeymoon with them. We do have rules here, you know. But when they went into the Hyatt Regency Hotel for their first night, spend their first night together on their way to Hawaii, where Brother Russell Anderson had paid for their honeymoon trip to Hawaii, and they closed the door, then everything was all right. She could give herself to him. She was all his. The Lord Jesus came to earth, but he wasn't satisfied. He was despised and rejected of men, but he wasn't satisfied. He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, but he wasn't satisfied. He was led to a false trial, but he wasn't satisfied. He was beaten beyond recognition by the cat of nine tails, but he wasn't satisfied. The cross was placed upon him, and he was placed upon the cross, and he wasn't satisfied. But that wonderful little scripture that says, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. He gave his all. His wants and his needs equal each other. When what Linda wanted and what Linda had equaled each other, Linda was satisfied. When what Jesus wanted to do and what he did equaled each other, and the equation was balanced, then was he satisfied. Now, I want to apply that to you for a few minutes, please. Two ways to be rich. I've said it often here. There are two ways to be rich. Number one, if you can get all you want, then you're rich. Number two, if you have all you want, then you're rich. Being wealthy is when your haves and your wants are equal to each other. Look at me carefully. I'm a very wealthy man. I have everything I want. I don't want anything else. There's nothing in the world that I want. I mean this when I say this. I honestly believe that if I said today, I would like to have a new Lincoln Town Car, I believe with all my heart the deacons of this church would lead the church in purchasing for me and Mrs. Hiles a new Lincoln Town Car. Is that true, fellas? I'd like to have a new Lincoln. But anyway, I don't want a new Lincoln Town Car. I enjoy driving that 1928 Ford that I have now. I don't want a Lincoln Town Car. I wouldn't walk to the parking lot across the street to get a Lincoln Town Car. I've told you often this little story. One of the doctors in our church, Dr. Dennis Streeter, he called me out one night and he said, "Preacher, look what I got for you." He was grinning all across his face, boy. And I said, "What is it?" And there was a brand new Mercedes-Benz car. At that time, it was listed for $30,000. And Dr. Streeter said, "Preacher, it's all yours. I bought it for you." And I said, "Doc, I don't want it." He said, "What do you mean you don't want it?" I said, "I don't want it. That's what I mean. I don't want it." He said, "But preacher," he said, "I ordered this car and I want you to have it." And I said, "Doc, I don't want it." But he said, "Preacher," he said, "oh, something like this." He said, "All you got to do is push a button and the windows come down." Well, I just never have really thought it was a big deal to do like that. It never has bothered me a great deal. He said, "Windows come down." And I said, "And by the way, it's air conditioned." And I said, "Well, Doc, you don't need the windows down if it's air conditioned, unless you chew tobacco and have to spit." And I said, "You don't need the windows down." He said, but preacher, you just push this button over here, and all the doors unlock at one time." I said, "Well, the truth is, I don't mind doing that. And in the second place, though, I can't get out of it one door anyway. I don't need all the doors unlocked at one time." But he said, "Preacher, I love you, and I wanted to show you I love you. How can I show you that I love you?" And I said, "Doc, you come here a minute." He came over, and I said, "You put your arms around me and tell me that you love me. That's all I want." And he put his arms around me, and he said, "I do love you. God knows I love you. That's all I want. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. There's nothing I want down here. Little trinkets that folks save to buy. I don't want anything. I have everything I want. I don't know how much I have. Don't have a great deal. But don't want anything. So I'm a very wealthy man. Why? Because my wants and my haves equal each other. And so I'm a very rich man. Now I want to call your attention this morning, this thing of living within your means so you can be wealthy also. In the first place, financially, live within your means. Now I will tell you something. 75% of all marital problems are caused by financial problems. You young couples about to get married, if you'll just decide we're going to live within our means. Somebody said, "Brother House, this is how much we have to have. I've got to find a job. It'll take this much to..." No, it won't take that much to leave either. No, it won't. You decide what you have, and you live within those means. If you can't have the same house you have, then don't live in the same house you have. If you can't drive the same car you have, then don't drive the same car you have. If you can't afford a car, don't drive a car. Get you a bicycle built for two. Or in the case of some of you folks, Moffitt's a bicycle built for 10. But you don't, I want to say this, you live within your means. "Oh, but you sit with the house, there's many things I want." I will tell you something. When you live within your means, you'll have all you want. And when you get the place to where you don't want anything you can't afford, don't want anything you don't have, you'll be amazed how happy that you are. Now, almost all depression is caused because people want what they don't get and want what they don't have. And the truth is, want more than they can get. Now, you decide, this is how much we make, and this is how much we're going to spend, and we're going to live within our means. And by the way, it might be a good idea if you destroy all your credit cards in the meantime, and you say, this is how much we make, and this is how much we're going to live on, and we're going to live on what we have. Now, you, but Brother House, we just can't live on this. Oh, yes, you can. Oh, you ought to live through a depression sometime.
You ought to live through a time where nobody works hardly and you almost starve to death and you don't have a central heat and you have to have a wood stove or a kerosene lamp and live in a one-room house maybe or a one-room apartment. I'm simply saying, I don't care how much you have, live within your means. Financially, you stay within those means. I must hasten to the main part of my sermon this morning. Not only live within your means financially, but live within your means concerning love. Now, don't miss what I'm going to say. I'm going to stay here a while. You live within your means concerning love. The hardest thing that our Savior ever faced, I think, was the fact that nobody could love Him back as much as He loves them. I often say to Jesus, when I'm out in the woods praying, I'm saying, Jesus, the reason I'm out here is I want You to have some as near as possible reciprocal love as the love that You give to me. I don't think the thing that hurt Jesus the most was being a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. I don't think the biggest pain that our Lord ever suffered was being nailed to a cross. I don't think the most difficult thing for our Savior was being beaten with a cat of nine tails. I think that our Savior, who is love, God is love, our Savior lived amongst men that did not love Him like He loved them. He said to Peter, lovest thou me? And of course, as all of you know, the words agape. And Jesus said, Peter, do you deeply love me? And Peter said, Lord, I phileo you. And Jesus said, Peter, didn't ask you that. I ask you, do you agape me? Do you love me deeply? And Peter said, Lord, I'm fond of you. I phileo you. The word phileo meaning fondness. I phileo you. And Jesus said, but Peter, do you love me? Do you agape me? And Peter said, Lord, I know I'm fond. You know that I'm fond of you. The Lord Jesus was looking at Peter and he was saying, I love him and I wish he would love me like I love him. I think the hardest thing about growing in grace is what I'm talking about right now. The more you grow in grace and the deeper your love becomes and the more you love, the more you won't return to you the kind of love that you give. And so you wish that, sometimes I wish I weren't myself so I could love me. Because I'd like to have the kind of love that I give. And the hardest thing you'll find as you grow in grace is you'll love somebody and somehow they cannot love you as you love them. Now, I'll tell you something. Live within your means. You say, oh, preacher, back to money. No, I'm talking about love. You live within the means of your love. Young lady, if you're married to a young man who's not as loving as you are, you learn to live within the means. Don't you get outside those means and be extravagant. Get outside the circle of right and wrong to get more love. You live within whatever means you have. Whatever love that man can give you, you accept that and you shrink your needs to meet what he has to offer. Young man, you do the same thing. If you're married to a young lady who's not as affectionate as you are, and you wish she were, you want her to love you like she loves you, don't you keep that excess desire out there, or you'll fulfill that excess desire. You shrink your desire to match what she has to offer. You live within your means. I remember years ago, I was pastoring a small church. Well, it got bigger, thank God, but we were Grange Hall Baptist Church outside of Marshall, Texas, a church out in the edge of town, in the country, really, outside of town. And they loved me dearly. The church there was a little miniature First Baptist Church of Hammond. And I loved them dearly. We had a great church and a wonderful church. In fact, when I went there the first Sunday, we had 39 people in Sunday school. And it grew to be a pretty good sized little country church. And well, there are 40 preachers across America right now, preachers and foreign missionaries to this day who are serving God full time who are from that little church out in the country outside Marshall, Texas. And I love those people. And then all of a sudden, one day, the pulpit committee came from the First Baptist Church of Harlton, Texas. And they were interested in me. I was a young man at the time. By the way, about 2 years ago, we had a pulpit committee here interested in me. Thrilled me to death. I didn't know that anybody was interested in old codger, 60, over 60 years old. And thrilled me to death. But I just wouldn't pastor a church with a $15 a week salary. So I told them no. But anyway, First Baptist Church of Harlton, a pulpit committee came to see me and they wondered if I'd be interested. I said, no, I wouldn't. And the next Sunday, First Baptist Church of Hallsville, Texas, pulpit committee came and said, young man, I was about 25 years old. We're interested in you for our pulpit. I said, I'm not interested. Next Sunday, First Baptist Church, Wascom came. And they said, we're interested in you as our pastor. I said, no. 7 consecutive Sundays we had pulpit committees. But I saw one committee one Sunday night, and I didn't like the looks of those men. Because I felt like somehow God was in it. I looked back and I saw them sitting in our audience that night, in that crowd that night. And I got scared. I said, I'm worried. I feel like I may have to give up my people. It was the Southside Baptist Church of Henderson, Texas. I'll never forget the day I called our secretary, Eva Smoke. She didn't, but that was her name. That's not your name, but you do. But I called Eva Smoke, and I dictated a letter to Eva, and I said something like this. For 3 years and 3 months, I've been your pastor. I've never loved anybody like I love you. And I don't want to leave, but God has called me to leave. And I can still see Eva trying to be able to see to write the shorthand. Didn't have dictaphone machines back in those days. And I can see Eva trying to write the letter, the shorthand. And I remember how we stopped and cried. And I remember how when I resigned that little church, oh, my soul, the people died. Now, I went to the Southside Baptist Church of Henderson. Ever notice how I don't say much about that church? I tell about Grange Hall Baptist Church and Morris Chapel Baptist Church and Miller Road Baptist Church. And when I go to my next church, I'll tell about First Baptist Church of Hammond. But I hardly ever say anything about Southside. Now, we were not there very long. I resigned from that church to go take the church in Garland, Texas, because it was near seminary. I could go to seminary and pastor that church at the same time. But the Southside Baptist Church, funny thing, we never had one problem there. Now, we had heartbreak at Marshall, Grange Hall. It was a great church. We had a heartbreak at Miller Road in Garland when I first went there. It was a great church. We've had heartbreak here, and this is the greatest church I've ever seen. But isn't it interesting that the church where we had no problems, not one, never an enemy, not one, somehow or other, but they didn't know how to love. And I was used to being spoiled. I was used to having Reese peanut butter cups under my door. And I was used to having pennies and nickels and dimes. And I'd like to say to you boys and girls, inflation has come. I can't live on pennies, nickels, and dimes anymore. We've got to have some quarters and silver dollars. But anyway, and gold pieces and so forth under my door. But anyway, how's that? He said, I need to temper my wants to meet my... You just shut up and practice leading the singing back there. <Your move. laughs> But something happened. I found myself wanting more love than they were giving me. And I was almost, I was about to die. So what I have to do? I have to live within my means. I found out what love they had to offer, and I shrunk my needs to meet what they had. Now look, you're going to be in trouble. You're going to live a miserable life. You find out how much love there is in those that love you and how much they have to offer and learn to live on it. You'll die. You'll die. And also you'll do wrong if you don't keep your love appetite within the ability you have to satisfy that appetite. That's pretty good stuff, folks. My mama taught me how to love. And my mama loved me. One reason is my daddy had left us and she didn't have a daddy to love. Only people there were Earlene and me, and she's not lovable, you know that. But my mother loved me. And in fact, the truth is she probably spoiled me. You never noticed it, did you? But she probably spoiled me, but she loved me. And we never, in all the years until she went to heaven at the age of 96, from the time I was old enough to talk, I never left her presence without saying, I love you, Mother. And she said, I love you, son. And as a preacher, I never said goodbye to my mother when I left her place. But what she said to me, son, I'm so proud of you. Son, you're so much more than I ever dreamed that you'd be, and God has blessed you so much more than I ever dreamed. And oftentimes she'd say to me, son, I remember the day I knelt, the night I knelt after Daddy left, and I knelt beside the foot of your bed, and I prayed. I said, dear God, if you'll call him to preach, I'll do what I can to make a preacher boy out of him. I'm simply saying, my mother knew how to love. And then on September 20th, 1984, my mother went to heaven. Now, there was a love void there.
in my life or my mother's love. And no love is like a mother's love, and no love is like a father's love.
And so what did I do? I had to alter my appetite to fit the love without my mother. Now you listen to me, folks. You'll die if you don't do what I'm talking about this morning. Jesus was not satisfied because he wanted to give his all. He came to give his all. And when that which he wanted to do was done, when his desire and his availability met each other, he was satisfied. And Linda was satisfied only when what she desired to marry Johnny Murphy became reality. And you're not going to be satisfied until your desires and your haves meet each other. Don't live beyond your means financially. And don't live beyond your means as far as love is concerned. I'm going to use this little story, and I've overused it, but it so fits here. When we had graduation in our high school several years ago, I was counseling with a young lady in my office after graduation. There was a knock on my door, a heavy knock like that, a big heavy knock. And I went to the door, and it was our son Dave. He was crying uncontrollably. And I said, "What is it, son?" He said, "Dad, I've got to see you. I've got to see you now. Dad, I've got to see you." And I said, "Son, what is it?" And he said, "I've got to see you." I said, "Son, I've got an appointment. I'll see you when I get through." He said, "Dad, I've got to see you now." I asked a little lady in my office. She could linger for a few moments, and she did. And I stepped over to my secretary's office across the hall, and I said, "What is it, son?" Dave was youth director here at the time, and he said, "Dad," he said, "those kids that just graduated, they're not my youth department anymore. And I loved them. And they're gone." He said, "Dad, I didn't realize it till right now, but they're not my youth department. They're not mine anymore. They're gone." And he said, "Dad, I just had to get for a few moments with somebody who could love me as much as I love them." I guess all of us want that. I guess everybody would like to be with somebody who loves us back as much as we love. But as you grow in grace, you'll find that's not possible. You preachers, you'll have to learn that everybody can't love you like you love them. As you walk with God and more of His love flows through you, as you become a conduit of the love of God, you'll be obvious to the fact that folks won't love you. And I said, "Dave, you found him." And I looked at him and I said, "Son, that's why your dad spent so much time with Jesus. I want to love him. As Spurgeon said, I want to love him so much that when I look up and say, 'I love you, Jesus,' he'll look back and say, 'I know it, Charles.' I want to love him. I feel so sorry for God. God, who is love. God, who is the reservoir of all true love. And nobody's love him like he loves us. I want to love him as much as I can. That's why I'm alone a lot. That's why I spend hours and hours in the woods alone with God. I want to love Him. And I say to Him 50 times a day or more, 'I love you. And you know I love you. I want to love you more. And by the grace of God, I will love you more. But I want to love you more.' Why? I want the appetite that Jehovah God has to be loved. And that's why He made us. God didn't make you to eat and drink and play. God didn't make you to make a living. God didn't make you to work 8 hours a day and watch a box at night. God didn't make you to eat, drink, be merry. God made you for His own praise and glory. God wanted you to love Him. That's why God made you. I don't know what you're going to do, but I'm going to love the fire out of Him. I'm going to do what I can to walk with Him. And He walks with me, and He talks with me, and He tells me I am His own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. And by the way, in case you're hungry for love today, you just go out somewhere alone with Jesus and look up at Him and let Him love you and soak in and absorb the love of God, and you'll have love overflowing in your soul and your heart. I'm saying that the honest truth is you've got to walk with Him to love Him like He ought to be loved. But you can't live your life that way, or you won't want to grow in grace. Because as you walk, grow in grace, and as you live closer to Him, and as you love more deeply. I was thinking this morning about that little church in the country. Little Morris Chapel Baptist Church. I was wondering where the people are as I was reliving. I was wondering where those people are I used to pastor. I was wondering if Mrs. Charlie Smith is still alive, the little lady that played the piano for us, but she could just play one song, and that was the Old Rugged Cross. I wonder if she's still alive. I wonder if that little family where Mrs. Howes and I ate one Sunday, and they were so poor, and all those folks are poor, and they were so poor that we had one bowl of Wolf's chili, canned chili, and a banana pudding. That's all we had. No bread, no vegetables, just one can of Wolf's chili, open and heated, and a banana pudding. I can hear that man saying to us, he said, "You know, I wish we had company every Sunday, because we sure do eat when company comes." I wonder where they are. 2 weeks ago, Mrs. Isles and I met our touring group that toured Marshall, Texas. We went up and knocked on the door of a humble little place, and an older lady came to the door. "Have the little boy in the aisle sit down, please. Help me with that little boy in the aisle. Have him sit down. Good." And we went to that little humble place and knocked on the door. And an elderly lady came to the door, Mrs. L.G. Eves. I was her pastor over 40 years ago. And as I slept that night, I thought about her. I wish I could see her more often. Her husband was the chairman of our deacons, big old one-legged man. We went out that night and called Tommy and Faye Ford, a lovely couple we pastored years ago. They came out in the yard, and we fellowshiped for a while, and we sang, "I heard an old, old story, how the Savior came from glory." And we sang, and we had a prayer, and we fellowshiped for a while. I hadn't seen him about 3 times in 40 years. And I said, "I wish I could see him more. I wish I could." I thought about the Miller Road Baptist Church and people there. And then early this morning, I was praising God that I don't have to leave here. I was praising God the people I love more than I love anybody in the whole world are right here this morning, and I'm not going anywhere. And you're not either. So satisfy yourself with loving. Don't let your appetite, "Well, I want to be loved. I want somebody to love me." Oh, that's not what Jesus did. He said, "I want to love." Don't let live within your means. I've got to hurry, but I don't want to hurry. So I'm not going to hurry. But I want to come to point number 3, and this is very important to help you. Not only live within your means concerning finances. Listen to me now. Not only live within your means concerning what love is available to you, alter your desires to meet that love that's available. But number 3, live within your means concerning problems. Now follow me carefully, I'll help you. You should not talk about problems you can't solve. You live within the problems that you have the ability to solve. Now, if there's a problem you can't solve, you take it to Jesus and leave it there. The world from you withhold of its silver and its gold. You can't get along with me or fair. Just remember in His Word how He feeds the little bird. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Don't you mess with those problems you can't solve. That's one reason why you shouldn't talk about people. I'd like to grab the telephones from every house in this place. You know, the television's ruined America, but the telephone's ruined it more. Talk about people, talk about people. And you can't solve one of those problems. And I don't live that way. I do not allow myself to enter into problems that I cannot solve. Now, listen, I'm not trying to hurt you. I'm trying to help you. Some of you people, you're nervous and you're upset. You've lost your joy. You've lost your peace. Why? That's exactly why. You're talking about people and their problems and people that you can't do anything about. Some folks come to my office sometime. Young lady's there last night. Somebody talked to her into coming to see me. And that doesn't do any good unless they want to see me. She came to see me last night. And she said, "I'm here because I was asked to come." And I said, "Let me help you." She said, I don't want to stay here." And she said, I don't want to serve God." And I said, "Now, I'll help you if you want me to, but I said, if you don't want me to help you, there's no need for us to talk anymore." There are people out there waiting for me that need my help I'm saying I will not enter into any kind of an arguing about what you're supposed to do unless I have the solution. Listen, quit talking about people. I'm not talking about criticizing, though most of you, that's where it ends up. Quit talking about people. Somebody said, great minds talk about ideas. Good minds talk about things, and weak minds talk about people. Measure your mind this morning. Live within your means. You say this morning, with the grace of God, I am not going to spend more money than I get. I'm going to find out what I get. I'm going to live within it. Boy, I admire that man in our church. I won't call his name. For many, many years, I guess he still does, don't know for sure, but I know for 15 years he rode a bicycle. Worked at the steel mill. Zero, snowing, ice, sleet. Rode a bicycle to work. You know why? He had a wife that was ill, and the doctor bills were expensive, and he couldn't afford a car, so he rode a bicycle. What? And I admire. Every time I saw him riding down the street in a bicycle, I'm not talking about a 25-year-old man. I'm talking about a man now that's probably getting up pretty close to where I am. I'm simply saying every time I saw him, I said, there goes a good Christian. He's not stealing somebody's money with a credit card he know he can't pay. He's not going to declare bankruptcy because he spent more than he lived on. There's a man who's honest. Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, financially live within your means. And then you live within your means of love. What love is available, you be satisfied with that love that's available. Wives, live within your means of love. Husbands, live within your means of love. Mature Christians, live within your means of love, whatever love is available to you. I have been allotted a certain amount of money. In my life, I've known poverty. Though I'm not wealthy now, I live comfortably. But I've been allotted a certain amount of money in my life, and I decided years ago that's exactly how much money I'm going to spend. No more. No less. I'm going to live within my means. I'm allotted a certain amount of love in life. God has chosen the people who are supposed to love me. And God has placed me in the company of those people. And I'm going to live on the love that God has provided for me through those people. And I've been allotted a certain amount of fame in life. A certain amount of renown in life. I'm going to live within that. I'm not going to want any more. Let me remind you again, there are two ways to get rich. Number one, you get what you want. But most of you are not going to get rich that way. May I disappoint you for a minute? You young preacher boys, may I disappoint you? You're not going to make much money. Because deacons decide how much you make. But you're not going to make much money. I'm simply saying, but tell you what! Thank God there are riches that you cannot buy with money. Live within your means. Don't, young couples, go to the laundromat. Don't buy you a washer. Don't expect in 20 days what it took mom and dad 20 years to get. I'll guarantee you, 90% of the couples that walk inside my office having marital problems, 90% of it starts with finances. 90% of it. How many of you guys right now, you're having problems with your marriage because of finances? There's Brother Sally back there. It's not your finances, son. It's your hairline. But anyway, but and your personality doesn't help any a lot, but 90% of it is caused by that. I'm 63 years old. I thank God today. Had exactly what I want. Exactly what I want. You said, Brother Hiles, you have a nice home. If I didn't have a nice home, I'd still have what I want. Say, what would you do? I'd alter my wants to fit my house. Because if my wants are bigger than my haves, I'll not be satisfied. Look at me real carefully as I model for you. Did you notice that? You folks over here, look at me real carefully this morning. As I... You know what you just saw? Don't you tell me what you just saw.
you just saw the happiest man you ever saw in your life. What you just saw.
But you said, Brother Hiles, you got enemies.
Oh, no.
You know how many friends I want?
Exactly what I got.
And by the way, I have more real friends today that I know are my friends probably than any man alive. Yeah. You just saw. You know how much hair I want? Well, that's going to ruin the whole sermon. Nobody's perfect, you know.
God looked down one day, and God said, I need a man in 1959 who's a southerner. Oh, I wish I was. But anyway, who's a southerner? I need him to pastor First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana for at least 30 and a half years. And he said, I need that man to be 5 foot 11 and 3/4 inches tall. He made me that. He said, I need that man to weigh. None of your business. But I finally got your attention this morning. None of your business. And God made me like I was. Because God, forgive me for saying it, God knew that you needed what He made me to be. I would rather be 5'11 and 3/4 than any height in the world. I would rather weigh 163 plus. I like what I've got. Nothing I want. This may shock you, but I'd rather be 63 years old than any age in the world. I was looking at you guys in Trinity Seminary a while ago. Thanking God I'm not that young. I wouldn't want to be that dumb again. I just wouldn't want to be that dumb again. But you Hiles Anderson youngers, don't watch it. I've been looking at you for years and thanking God I'm not like you. But I'd rather be 63 than the other age in the world. I thank God today I have what I want. And I'm a happy man. I live within my means. Why don't you? There are a few things in life that are basic. And what I preached to you this morning is basic. It's basic. What I preached to you this morning will determine your happiness or your sadness, your contentment or your discontentment. You live within your means concerning your finances. You live within your means concerning the affection and love that people give to you. You live within your means concerning your ability to solve the problems that come your way. Now, there are some problems that come my way that I can solve. But there are some problems I have to fall on my face and say, Jesus, you'll have to take care of this. Here's the way you sing it. Take your burden to the Lord and bring it back. Leave it there. Our Heavenly Father,